Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. I have an email here from Baker. It says, Nathan and Ben, first off, sirs, thank you for what you add to the LSAT community through your podcasts and wonderful content on the Demon. Your passion for helping others and mastery of the test shows at every turn. Now that the ass-kissing is out of the way, I'll share my background and how you've been helping me thus far. I entered into my LSAT study purgatory approximately 6 years ago.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Originally, before I had ever heard of either one of you, I started at Seven Sage. While the site is good, the test as a whole just never clicked for me. After months of studying and frustration, I never even sat for the LSAT the first time. I placed an immense amount of pressure on myself to score really well to overcome a less than stellar undergraduate GPA. More on that later. During that round of studying, the highest I was able to score on a practice test was 152 after 7 to 8 months of study. Life eventually got in the way, and falling into a fixed mindset eventually led me away from attempting the endeavor of law school. Fast forward to the present, my mindset and attitude has changed substantially. I again signed up for Seven Sage approximately 1 month ago. Before studying anything, I took a practice test cold after the six-year hiatus and scored 148. Apparently, the things I had learned had somewhat stuck with me. What do you think about that, Ben? Because I have thoughts about that.
What, the things that... he had learned had stuck with him?
I think he didn't learn shit.
It's just the the place, yeah, he was
well,
at.
Well, Baker, yeah. You don't have to understand anything to score a 148. All you have to do is read the questions.
Yeah.
I mean, Baker, many, many people score 160 on a cold diagnostic. Not everybody. In fact, most people score like something in the 140s.
Yeah.
Low 140s, right? Is probably the most common cold diagnostic.
Yeah.
I'm open to the possibility, Baker, that you didn't learn anything of value with your however many months of Seven Sage study. The test makes perfect sense, dude. If you just slow down and read it, then you should be able to score like pretty comfortably in the 140s or 150s.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, this is this, I think that this is a, there's an assumption here that you have to have all this technical bullshit on board in order to be able to score something like a 148. And you definitely do not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll never stop talking about my buddy, Mike, who scored like 162 on his very first practice test and then just never looked at it ever again. Like he just scored a 162 and was like, yeah, I don't think I want to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And that's with no prep whatsoever. That's just reading carefully.
Yeah.
Like if you read carefully, you should be able to score basically 160.
Yeah.
Without any knowledge at all. So I think what you really need to do is kind of let go of whatever technical shit you think you learned in Seven Sage. It's clearly not helping you. I mean, you studied with Seven Sage for 7 or 8 months and got a 152. That's bad. That's like not good at all.
Yeah.
That's like, I think that you were burdened with a bunch of heavy-handed, overly technical stuff. And if you study with us at the Demon, we're going to be much more about, hey, dude, slow down, read it carefully. What's that say? What's that mean? What are they asking you? Mm-hmm. Think about it. Did you pick an answer that actually answers the question or not? And it's not about gimmicks and shortcuts and a bunch of theory.
Yeah.
Anyway, as soon as I signed up for Demon Free, I was hooked. Within 2 days, I had a premium account. Since then, I have scored 155 and 157 on 2 practice tests. I mean, that's a dramatic, like that's an instant dramatic improvement. And I think that that comes from focusing on, it's like, shocker, brace yourself, but we're going to focus on actually understanding what the fuck they're saying and what they're asking you. And it's just not that hard to get into the high 150s if you actually read it and actually understand it.
Yeah.
While I still have pressure on me to score high, I'm focusing on learning the whys of the test and not just trying to outsmart the writers, because that shit isn't going to happen. Yeah, it's really not. It's not like tricky. It's not gimmicky. Yeah. It's an intense test of reading. It's like about how careful you are. It's about how lawyerly you are. And if you just slow down and actually understand it, instead of looking for shortcuts and tricks and gimmicks, then you can improve like by a lot, like 10 or 20 points or more.
Yeah.
Anyway, Baker continues. He says, however, I have a substantial hill to climb. I'm about 16 years disconnected from a 2.38 undergraduate GPA. Wow. It's hard to get a lower undergraduate GPA than mine and still graduate. Baker threaded the needle there. Good job, Baker. During those earlier years of my life, I gave no thought to anything other than playing baseball and the fairer sex. I'm paying for those decisions now. Since then, I have enjoyed, used loosely, a successful career in law enforcement in the Southeast, in which my responsibilities and leadership have progressed in spades. I don't think that that's a correct usage of in spades, is it?
I have no idea.
Yeah. However, it is definitely time to open this door and walk through it. My wife and I have no debt, and law school debt will not be added. Excellent. Baker, don't pay for law school.
Especially now that you're older.
Yeah, you have less time to pay that shit off.
Yeah.
And a family to support. From looking at the scholarship filter on the Demon and LSAC, I need to aim in the area of 165 to 167, given my undergraduate GPA. By the way, he said scholarship filter. It's a scholarship estimator, which is available at lsatdemon.com/scholarships. You can put in your undergraduate GPA and whatever LSAT score, play with it to see what kinds of scores might get you the kinds of offers that you want at all ABA accredited law schools, by the way. It's a very efficient way to search for possible schools that you might be interested in applying to. I would also like to point out that that scholarship estimator links directly to the 509 reports for every school, so you can tell where we got the data. I have to give them something attractive. I'm not going to ask you if this is possible or not. I know it's possible. It's just up to me to do it. Okay, so Baker is feeling confident. Other than thanking you and giving you a synopsis of my uphill climb, I wanted to ask you if you have other ideas of how to overcome the 2.38 question mark. I don't want to put myself in a position to run from it. I run toward it. Because it has a lot to do with who I am today and where I come from. Ben is puzzled. Ben's like, uh-huh. He's giving the side eye to that. I run toward it. Okay, Baker. Listen, dude, you need to get a good LSAT score. All right?
Yep. There you go. That's your solution.
That's what you need to do. You need to get a real good LSAT score. So, yeah.
That's the easiest way to run toward it.
Totally. Yeah, and like if you show up as a splitter, if you show up as a 165 or a 167 with a 2.38, I mean, you know, you're going to probably want to write a short addendum that says, I, you know, fucked up in undergrad. Or maybe not. I mean, well, I guess what I was going to say is you might want to write something about I am 16 years removed from undergrad.
Yeah, let's put that thing in the past to make it clear that it is in the past.
Yeah, you don't need to run to or from it. But I think if you draw their attention to the 16 years, then they might be more willing to give your 165 or 167 more credit than the 2.38 that you achieved, you know, a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
So one or two sentences just to make sure that they realize that you're a little older, I think would be probably helpful. I need to show there's no excuse, but also offer that there's similarity
either.
What?
Huh?
That's a broken sentence.
There's no similarity either.
don't overthink it, dude. Yeah. You need to say, hey, it's been 16 years since my undergrad. That's it. You don't. Yeah. All right. That's it. Baker. Any advice for Baker?
No.
Get a really good LSAT score. Write an addendum that says undergrad was 16 years ago and I'm a different person now.
And write a personal statement showing you kicking ass in these leadership roles, and we'll see you as a mature adult.
A grown up.
Yeah. And that will also do the distancing for you, right?
Make yourself look serious and adult. Be careful about the like comedy. Do you see Baker here like kind of coming with some jokes and stuff? Mm-hmm. Don't do that in your personal statement. Make yourself look like a serious, successful professional. And then have two sentences. You know, I'd like to point out that my undergraduate GPA, which is embarrassingly low, happened 16 years ago. I think that my professional career, and my LSAT score is a better representation of who I am.
Yeah, which may or may not even be necessary if you write a great personal statement showing how that makes it obvious. You don't say how old you are, yep, but makes it obvious that you're older. And again, I'm doubling down on what you just said, Nathan, but get the best LSAT score you can get, because the whole point here is that they're going to see that GPA and they're going to say, oh, does this person have the academic chops to succeed in law school? And the most obvious and easy way to answer that question is to come back with a killer LSAT score. And it's like, oh, okay, actually, yep, maybe they do.
Yep.
No story is going to do that.
Yeah, keep it short, dude. Two sentences max. If you're gonna write that addendum.
Yep.
And write a personal statement that just shows you being a badass at work.
Cool.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.